You know, today's gospel tells us that the doors of the upper room were shut for fear of the Jews. The apostles who had abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested, they're still in hiding. It would not be until the Holy Spirit was given to them on the day of Pentecost that they would begin to go out into the world to profess their faith in spite of all odds. Now, sadly, in the world today, there are believers that need to be in hiding, because in some places, it's illegal to be a Christian in the land in which they live. Did you know that in some places, you're not allowed to even own a Bible? You would think in the 21st century that things would have gotten straightened out, but no. Believers are jailed and tortured, and far worse, simply because they love Jesus Christ and are not afraid to profess the fact to others. I ask you, please, keep them in your prayers and give thanks for the courage and strength that the Lord has given to each one of them throughout this entire ordeal. Now, there's one apostle who's right in the middle of today's action, and his name is Didymus. You're like, who? Didymus, the twin, also known as Thomas. And many have called him Doubting Thomas because he said that since he was not there during the Lord's first visit on that Easter Sunday night, that he needed to see for himself that it truly was Jesus. You remember his words, "Let me see the nail marks in his hands. Let me put my finger in there. Let me put my hand in his side that was pierced by the centurion." Well, the very next Sunday, Jesus appeared once again. And this time, he went straight to Thomas and told Thomas, "Go ahead, put your fingers here, put your hand here. Stop doubting and believe." But with that, I have to tell you that just reading about the first Sunday night, several of the other apostles had questions too. It wasn't just Thomas. See, in today's Holy Gospel from John chapter 20, 19 to 20, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They apparently didn't receive the peace that he had given them in the initial greeting because they didn't rejoice until after he proved to them who he was. Maybe it was because the door was locked and then suddenly Jesus appeared inside. They might have been stunned and afraid until Jesus showed them his wounds. When they recognized him in that locked upper room, their joy became so great that it couldn't become contained. They had received that joy that Jesus had promised them in John 16, 22, when he told them, when he was speaking of his impending death, he said, "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Now, I want to suggest to you that this joy was not only because of what they saw, but also because of what Jesus had to say to them. Jesus had just given these disciples their marching orders, or commissioning, as well as their call to ministry, as he told them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." They also received the power to forgive sins. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus was giving them his expectations of the job that they would need to do. That's a job that they have passed down through the centuries to those who are ordained priests and can stand and give absolution. Not only had the disciples seen the risen Lord receive their call to ministry and the power to forgive sins, but they also received new life in the Holy Spirit, breathed upon them by their master. You might be saying, "Well, if they received the Holy Spirit, how come they didn't go out of hiding right away?" Well, I believe it's because Jesus gave them a part of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost that he would open their minds entirely and the Holy Spirit would fill them. and would give them all of the gifts, including the gift of tongues. On that very first Easter, they must have been ecstatic. Can you just imagine the feeling that they must have had after hearing, and only John saw him crucified, but hearing that he had risen from the dead? They must have been ecstatic. They must have been really excited, and that's probably putting it mildly. So then Thomas comes back to that room through the locked door, and they meet him right at the door. I can just picture it. "We've seen the Lord," they said. "He was here, and he gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to forgive sins," and on and on and on, laying it on heavy. Can you just imagine how Thomas is feeling? He missed it all. And they're, you know, giving their beloved brother all the information of what happened, and he missed it. I think we can understand maybe why Thomas was just a little frustrated. And so a week later, with Thomas there with the others, Jesus came back to that same locked room and he said, "Peace be with you." And Jesus went right to Thomas. "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus addresses Thomas's concerns directly. Thomas's reaction is like nobody else's in history. He said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas proclaims Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Here near the end of John's Gospel, we hear the only disciple to ever actually announce Jesus as God. The faith of Thomas clarifies beyond question the identity of Jesus. And he does it for all of us and for all generations to come. His faith proclaims Jesus as Messiah, the Christ, the risen Savior, God incarnate, God made man, the living Word, in the simple words, "My Lord and my God." And would not be until the day of Pentecost that the lives of Jesus' apostles would be completely transformed by the Holy Spirit to the point that they would go out and endure persecution and even martyrdom. They were not just claiming that Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to them in order to receive some special benefit. They truly believed it. Just compare this courage to how they reacted at Jesus' arrest and execution. They scattered and hid. They were afraid. They denied and abandoned him. They hid in fear. After Pentecost, they willingly endangered themselves by publicly proclaiming the fact that Jesus is the risen Christ. What happened? Peter went outside with the apostles and he spoke the truth. And over 3,000 people in the second chapter of Acts, over 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ and were baptized that day because of boldness that the Holy Spirit gave them. They were willing to suffer for their belief in the risen Jesus who had appeared to them. Somebody once wrote, "Men may be willing to die for what they believe to be true, but they would never die for what they know to be false." Think about that for a second. These men were about to step out, willing to walk off the ledge. Why? Because they knew in their hearts that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. The words of Jesus are clear and filled with encouragement. As he told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." Blessed are those who come to church on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, which is commonly known as Low Sunday. Usually lower in excitement from Easter Sunday, and usually lower in attendance too. But God bless you. You have not seen, but yet you still believe. Those words spoke not only to the apostles and disciples, but they should speak to each one of us as well. The apostle Peter, by the way, as we know, was an eyewitness to these events. And he gives us these words as a reminder for us who were not there. In his first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and by the way, Miss Marilyn is teaching this very lesson to our children in Children's Church. Peter writes this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, today's gospel message is not about doubting. There can be no doubt about it. But it's about believing in the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And John reminds us in his words given at the end of today's holy gospel, which Deacon Bob read. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John chapter 20, verses 31. On the second Sunday of Easter, let us rejoice in the joy of the risen Lord that no one can take from us. Absolutely no one can take the God-given joy that has been given to you in, through, and by the name above all names, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. And of that, there can be no doubt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.